Is the Roman Empire just a matter of ancient history? What could it possibly have to do with you, with your family, your job, and your future? In the fall of 2004, a remarkable exhibition opened in a circus tent pitched right across from the European Union headquarters in Brussels, Belgium. The theme of the exhibit was best captured by a banner that proclaimed the new Roman Empire. This exhibition narrated 50 years of European Union history, and in the words of one prominent British newspaper, projects events into the future in an unusually frank display of European ambition. What does that really mean, and where is it headed? If you want the real story, then stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in Tomorrow's World. This week, John O'Gwen explores the new Roman Empire. And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. Does the European Union see itself as a modern-day revival of the old Roman Empire? That may seem like a far-fetched question, but it was clearly the theme that was proclaimed by an art exhibit in Brussels, coordinated by the European Commission and sponsored by the European Council. A prominent London newspaper, the Daily Telegraph, summed it up in a headline that read, "Art Show Sees Europe as New Roman Empire." The Telegraph went on to declare that, quote, "segments sketched across 80 yards of canvas predict that the 21st century will be the European century. As the EU pushes its borders deep into Eurasia, North Africa, and the Middle East, and comes to dominate world affairs through its vast legal and moral reach." End quote. What about it, my friends? Is Europe really going to dominate the 21st century? Now think about what the last 60 years have seen. You know, in 1945, World War II ended. Germany was defeated and in ruins. France was half-starved and humiliated. Britain was bankrupt and on the verge of losing its empire. The countries of Central and Eastern Europe, they were coming under the iron boot of Soviet communism. Who would have guessed that Europe was on the verge of entering a new golden age? And yet that's what happened in the years following. Let's look briefly at what happened in the years between World War II and now. You know, in 1947, General George C. Marshall, who was the American Secretary of State, gave a speech at Harvard University in which he announced the Marshall Plan. The Marshall Plan resulted in literally billions of American dollars being spent for the rebuilding of Europe, sort of jump-starting the European economy. In 1951, a Treaty of Paris was signed that created the European Coal and Steel Community. In 1957, the Treaty of Rome transformed the coal and steel community into the common market, the European Economic Community. The six countries that were at the founding core of this, Germany, France, Italy, and the three Benelux nations, Belgium, Netherlands, and Luxembourg, they came together forming this common market. And over the next years, there were other European countries that were interested in joining. In fact, Britain ultimately applied on several occasions only to have their application turned down initially. In 1986, the Single European Act took place, and Europe's borders were opened up, at least those that were members of the European Economic Community. In 1992, the Maastricht Treaty was signed, and the common market was transformed into the European Union. The stage was set for the introduction of a common currency, the euro. All sorts of common institutions were going to come out of this, being a part of this new European Union. What began as a customs union among six countries just a few years after World War II now has grown to be a union that is 25 nations strong and growing. And all the while, it's taking on the trappings of a super state. How has such a transformation taken place? You know, the Brussels exhibit readily acknowledged what has occurred by quoting the advice given by one of the founding fathers of the European Union, a Frenchman by the name of Jean Monnet. He declared that the key to building a united Europe would be, quote, never announce intentions openly and proceed by stealth. Now, initially, the reason given for pursuing European unity in the aftermath of World War II was to ensure that peace and prosperity would grow in Europe. Now, that's no longer the driving ambition behind the European Union. What is it? Well, The Economist, which is a well-known international magazine published in Britain, The Economist recently in an article stated, for many European leaders, the answer is obvious. The European Union must strive to become a global power. That is the real driving ambition. The point was driven home to leaders in continental Europe during the crisis leading up to the Iraq War. On the one hand, we were treated to the sight of a German chancellor and the Russian and French presidents meeting together and issuing joint statements on an international crisis. At the same time, mid-Atlantic meetings between the leaders of Britain and America also stirred memories of the past. Commenting on the deep-seated divisions in the West that Iraq made very evident, The Economist went on to state that it is certainly conceivable that the European Union will split into rival, mutually suspicious camps. Did you know that your Bible prophesied that very fact many centuries ago? The coming split and the ultimately growing antagonism between continental Europe on the one hand, and the Anglo-American powers and their allies is directly foretold in the pages of your Bible in Bible prophecy, believe it or not. Now, my friends, if you want the background to understand what's really going on right now, it's given in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 opens with a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, and no one was able to tell him what he had dreamed and what it meant. Well, ultimately, Daniel was called in. Daniel heard what was going on, and Daniel besought God that he would give him insight and understanding. And ultimately, the dream, we're told in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19, the secret was revealed unto Daniel. And Daniel blessed and acknowledged God as the one who gives wisdom, the one who changes the times and the seasons, the one who removes kings and sets up kings, the one who reveals the deep and secret things. You see, God knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Daniel came before the king, and he explained to the king. He said, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Now, did you get this, my friends? It's not simply a vision or a dream, an interpretation for way back 2,500 years ago. Not simply for Nebuchadnezzar in his day, but it was to reveal what shall be in the latter days. And Daniel went on to describe the dream. What Nebuchadnezzar had seen was a great image. It had a head of gold and chest and shoulders of silver. It had a belly and thighs of brass, and it had two legs of iron. And the legs of iron culminated in 2 feet of 10 toes, and the feet and the toes were a combination of iron and ceramic clay. In the aftermath of that, a stone coming down from heaven, a stone that is described as cut out without hands. In other words, a stone that was not shaped by human effort, but rather was of supernatural origin. This stone came down and it smashed the image on its toes and the whole thing turned to dust and blew away. The stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Daniel then went on to explain to Nebuchadnezzar exactly what that meant. He said, you, O king, you are this head of gold. And after you, there's going to arise another kingdom, a kingdom of silver. Daniel explained that in verses 38 and 39. And he said in verse 40, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That was symbolized by the iron legs. Now, my friends, do you understand? Do you see what this is talking about? We're looking here at an image that represented four successive kingdoms, beginning with ancient Babylon, coming down to the Persians, then the Greeks, and finally the Roman Empire, symbolized by the two legs of iron. The Roman Empire continued down through history with the Western Roman Empire and those who were the heirs to that, and the Eastern Roman Empire. What we find is that in the end time, the kingdom, the final revival of the Roman Empire, symbolized by the 10 toes, the 2 feet, the combination of iron and ceramic clay, that is going to ultimately be destroyed at Christ's return. The God of heaven is going to set up a kingdom that will never be removed. But human history is pictured in these successive empires and coming down to a final revival of the Roman Empire. Would you like to really understand what the Bible has to say about events that are shaping up in Europe right now? How will those events affect you personally? My friends, we've got a free booklet that will make this important subject plain and clear. Our booklet, The Beast of Revelation, takes the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, and it puts them together with events from history to help you really understand it. Why, we even have a chart right here in the midst of the booklet that will lay out the various prophecies along with their historic fulfillment in a form that is simple and easy to follow. You can read this booklet at your own pace, and you can check up the references to really understand this subject for yourself. Events in Europe are going to dramatically affect your life, and you need to understand how. Please request your own personal copy of our free booklet, The Beast of Revelation, right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. Is it true, as a recent exhibition at the European Union headquarters in Brussels declared, that a new Roman Empire is rising in Europe? If so, where is it headed? And what does that portend for you and for your future? Because make no mistake about it, my friends, these events are going to greatly transform your world in the years immediately ahead. Now first, let's readily acknowledge that at present there appear serious obstacles to the development of a powerful, unified European superstate. Many have pointed out some of those obstacles. What are they? The European Union is a framework with no soul. In other words, there is a lack of a real unifying spirit, something that really enlivens the structure, the framework that's being set up with political structure and military common command and common currency and a common court of justice. And yet there is lacking a passion, a unifying force that unifies and that gives life to this union. Secondly, there are deep divisions about the proposed European Constitution. There have been negotiations. The Constitution has been agreed to by the 25 nations, and yet probably at least 11 of them are going to be holding referendums. Polling data across Europe shows that there is a wide diversity of opinion. As another matter, there has been, in recent years, very anemic economic growth. There's declining birth rate. Europe is no longer the economic powerhouse. Germany no longer has the burgeoning economy that really drove, was the engine that drove the European Union for a period of years. And there have been, in recent years, not just steady or stable military budgets, but declining and falling military budgets. How are they going to have a great military presence with all of that going on? You know, friends, your Bible shows that these obstacles are going to be overcome. Now, before we examine that part more closely, it's important to examine the framework that is given by Bible prophecy. Now, we've already looked at Daniel chapter 2, and we saw Daniel's description of this image and the succession of four world-ruling empires coming down to the Roman Empire, continuing all the way down to the return of Jesus Christ. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had a vision. This is in his latter years. And in this vision, he looked out by night and he saw this dark, churning sea. And he saw four great creatures described in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3. Four great beasts or creatures came up from the sea, and they were different from one another. The first was described as like a lion. The second, mentioned in verse 5, was like a bear. And then in verse 6, a leopard came up, but it was a strange leopard. It had four heads. And then we're told in verse 7 that I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, a fourth creature, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now, Daniel looked at all of this, and he wanted to understand. And we're told in verse 9, he watched until thrones were cast down, these kings, and the Ancient of Days did sit. He saw the establishment of the kingdom of God. Again, he saw a panorama of history, a panorama that started back in his day and proceeded all the way on beyond our day to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. In many ways, it paralleled, only using different symbols, the visions that Daniel explained, recorded back in Daniel chapter 2. You see, he goes on to explain here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 17, that these great beasts, these creatures that he saw, the four creatures, they represent four kings or kingdoms. And ultimately, verse 18, the saints of the Most High will take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then Daniel wanted to know the truth of this fourth beast, this one that was a little different, had the great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces all the others. He's told in verse 23, Daniel 7, 23, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. And it's going to tread down, it's going to break in pieces. The ten horns coming out of this kingdom represent ten kings. So what we find right here in Daniel chapter 7 is the same description, the same geopolitical events that are described in Daniel chapter 2, except there's different symbolism, there are different details that are brought out. The fourth beast, the Roman Empire, the fourth kingdom, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and finally Rome. Again, this connection with iron. This is described. This is the background. And ultimately, then, the establishment of the kingdom of God. Now, this is the background against which John wrote in the book of Revelation. Because in Revelation chapter 13, John describes, and John is writing about 600 years after the time of Daniel, John describes a vision that he had. And in this vision, John was standing on the sand on the seashore of the Isle of Patmos. And he looked out at the sea, and he saw rising up out of the sea, Revelation 13:1, a beast. This great creature that rose up. Now, the creature that John saw had seven heads and ten horns. And John saw it arise. And the creature that he saw, this seven-headed creature, had the characteristics of a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Now, why is John's vision a little different than Daniel's? You know, Daniel was writing about 600 years earlier. And When Daniel was writing, the Babylonian Empire was on the scene and all of the others were yet to arise. John is now writing after 6 centuries have gone by. The Babylonian Empire of Daniel's day has receded into history. The Persian Empire that took its place has receded into history. The Greco-Macedonian Empire, the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great and his successor generals, that has all faded into history. By 31 B.C., when the Roman Empire defeated the armies of Cleopatra and off the coast of Egypt, the Battle of Actium, that ended the remains of the Greek empires, and the Roman Empire was now supreme, the fourth kingdom. So when John is writing, all of the others have receded into history. John sees one creature, but he sees 7 heads. If you remember, that's what Daniel described it as, different creatures, but there were 7 heads. Remember, the one head of the lion, the second head of the bear, the four-headed leopard, which brings us up to 6, and then the 7th head, the Roman Empire. And it was out of that that came the 10 horns. So here, Daniel writes what he saw. John picks up the symbolism. The other heads, he sees it as a part of one system that is extant in his day as the Roman Empire. Now, John goes on to describe the head, and the only one extant in his day was the Roman Empire. That head was wounded to death, and yet the deadly wound was healed. There were revivals of the Roman Empire down through history. And these things are made plain as we go on through. Now, how are these prophecies going to be fulfilled? Well, now let me give you some things to watch for in the months and the years ahead. At this point, it appears that at least 11 of the member countries of the European Union are going to hold a referendum on whether or not to adopt the new European Constitution. Some of those countries, most notably Britain and Denmark, appear poised to say no to the Constitution. The Economist, an internationally known magazine published in Britain, speculates that the EU could evolve into 2 blocks, with an integrated political union at the core and a looser economic union around it. Now, this scenario seems to be one that fits in well with Bible prophecy, because Bible prophecy shows that a revived Roman Empire will be at the heart of a great international trading combine. A combine that will ultimately enrich a number of individuals and corporations. The Bible talks about that in Revelation chapter 18. Talks about this great international trading combine, but there is a military political core. And it's interesting that even secular observers are seeing that this seems to be the direction that things are headed. Now, furthermore, there are 2 main geopolitical realities that are going to push forward the events in Europe. One is going to involve a growing desire to counterbalance American domination in world affairs. This is something that is driving the thinking of many of the leaders in Europe right now, and the leaders in France and Germany and Russia in particular. Now, that's one major factor. In addition, there's going to be an increasing need to respond to that bubbling cauldron of instability and seething resentment that seems to drive events in the Middle East. Bible prophecies also show that religion is going to play a major part. There is going to be a religious revival in Europe, and religion is going to play a major part in giving life to the structure that is now being built in Europe. You know, frankly, my friends, most people cannot imagine a religious revival in the heart of secular Europe. Much less can they imagine where such a revival is going to lead. You know, we have a free booklet that will make that absolutely plain to you. If you want to understand this vital subject, you need our free booklet, The Beast of Revelation. This booklet is not a novel. This booklet takes the prophecies contained in your Bible and it lines them up with one another as well as with important historical events. You know, the material contained in this booklet is priceless. And yet, it's absolutely free of charge to you. Our free booklet, The Beast of Revelation, will help you thoroughly understand the material that we're discussing on this program. And we invite you to request your own personal copy, absolutely free of charge, right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Did you know, my friends, that since the ancient fall of the Roman Empire in 476 A.D., there have been a number of attempts to revive it? History shows six of these attempts that have been attempted. They have been successful, at least temporarily. You know, right now, my friends, there are those in Europe who share a vision of the future. They dream of a revived Roman Empire that will usher in a world of peace and prosperity. Now, that's what they dream of. Is that dream going to come to fruition? Or is that dream going to turn into a nightmare? You know, you don't have to be taken by surprise as these events unfold in the months and the years ahead. The Bible lays out the future of nations in advance. Our free booklet, The Beast of Revelation, will help you to gain a clear understanding of what that future really holds. We invite you to tune in next week and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I not only make plain to you the prophecies of your Bible, but also of the very meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.